So many of us understand that it was in this month that Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wassalam, he managed to take the Bani Israel over the waters. Allah tabarak ta'ala destroyed the army of Fir'aun. Indeed, in that era, it was most unique in the land of the Arabs, how they crossed, how were they destroyed. Another incident that took place in this month of Muharram, which very few people have any history that it was in this time, but we know the incident, it was the incident of Abraha. The army of Abraha, for me and you, it's like something that's not so close. But for the Arabs, close to the birth of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it was the talk. It was known as Amul Fil, where for Bani Israel, the destruction of Fir'aun was like the biggest thing. For the Arabs, the destruction of the army of Abraha was the biggest. They never really had any way to calculate dates like years. But the year that Abraha was defeated was known as the year of the elephant. Amul Fil, the year of the elephant. The calculation of the birth of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he was born, no one understood that he is going to shine so much in the world. So no one was going to record when he was born. But so much was known that they could say he was born 50 days after the event of the elephant. Because of that day, today we can work out that in the year 570 he was born. Because no one knew anyone's birth, but they knew the elephant issue. For us to understand the surah, Alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi ashabil fil, we also have to put ourselves now in that era. We have to understand what Abraha meant. Why did he come to the Kaaba? The reason is because history repeats itself. And the efforts of the devil in the past will remain the efforts in the future. And the way Almighty Allah dealt with the enemy in the past will be the way He'll deal with them in the future. Alam tara kayfa, this verse, have you not seen? Have you not seen? No one saw. But it meant that you must know what happened and you must think about it. It must give a message, which jamaat, which group are you? How do you view the events? How do you put yourself on the path? So very quickly to go into history, where history normally is always regarded as a boring subject. But Islamic history is not just basic paper history. In Islamic history, there's a message that you are also part of the future. Don't make the mistakes of the people of the past. Rather, walk on the route which those walked on who later on would say that the help of Allah finally came. Yemen, if you understand Arabia, if you go up of Arabia, where we go Makkah, Mukarramah, Medina, Munawwara, if you go up, at the moment many won't understand what I'm speaking about up. But in a few years' time, you will definitely hear about the city of Neom. So the city of Neom is up. It's called the Gulf. You have the Red Sea. Then you have the Gulf. It's called the Gulf of Aqaba. So where the water ends and the turn takes place, this is that, the top of the Gulf of Aqaba. This Gulf of Aqaba is famous for many reasons. So where this tip is, a little bit coming to the side is where the city of Neom is. Slightly down from there is Midian. This would be where Musa alayhi salatu wassalam got married. Where Musa alayhi salam goes. Where Musa alayhi salam has his first encounter meeting with Almighty Allah. There's a high possibility that the place where Musa alayhi salam had his first kalam speech with Almighty Allah, the shaitani world of today have chosen that place as the city of Neom. What a place. We don't even know where that area is. But the devil knows a lot of things we don't know. They chose such a position for the city of Neom, which history shows most likely this was where Musa alayhi salam had his first kalam with Almighty Allah. For whatever reason they chose it. That water, if you go, that is most likely the water Musa alayhi salam passed, where Fir'aun was destroyed. So when the city of Neom will be established, and one person is looking at what a wonderful city this is, if you just turn your face to the waters and you say, this was the water that once swallowed Fir'aun. where the azab of Allah came, no one took lesson. And they went back into the way of Fir'aun. So when that city of Niyom comes up, and many a person, when you will go for Umrah, Allah save us all. But we understand the way of governments, organizations, shaitani groups. If they want you to visit the city, the easiest way is to say Umrah tickets very cheap. If you go through Niyom, because Niyom got its own airport. So if we say one day in Niyom for free, no visas needed, who won't take it? The ticket is 500 riyals cheaper. You say, everyone is going. You ask, where are you going? Umrah. You say, where are you stopping? Stopping in Niyom. So at that time, if they force us to stop there, I want you to think of two. That around the corner, Allah's punishment came on Fir'aun. If I can't take lesson from there, where I'll take lesson from? Where Allah Tabarak Ta'ala says, فَالْيَوْمَ نُنَجِّيكَ بِبَدَنِكَ لِتَكُونَ لِمَنْ خَلْفَكَ آيَةً. When the body of Fir'aun went in the water said, go out. He said, today we will keep your body intact, so that you can be a lesson for the people who will come after. وَإِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِّنَ النَّاسِ عَنْ آيَاتِنَا لَغَافِلُونَ. Almighty Allah says, but majority of the people, they will look at our sign and they will take no lesson from it at all. When we will see that waters right next to the city of Niyom, we will say, when the punishment of Allah comes, it doesn't play games. I must not be like the army of Fir'aun. So this is on top. If you go down past Makkah Mukarramah, you come to Yemen. Yemen was at that time known as the Hukumat, the power. And the people of Yemen were known as the Himyar, which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would speak of the power of the Quraysh. He would say, once upon a time, Himyar enjoyed this power. Allah took it from them and gave it to us, the Quraysh now. So Himyar, Yemen, the kings of Yemen were famous in that era. This little history we have to know. Then something happened in Himyar, in Yemen. They say a Jew was persecuting the Christians, whatever history wrote. And when that persecution reached a level, then some Christians run away to Abyssinia. So to go Abyssinia, you'll cross the Red Sea, you come to what we call today Ethiopia. In Ethiopia, it's a Christian kingdom. They say to the Christian, do you know what the Jew is doing to us? He killed so many of us, please help us. So that's the normal story. And then the king of Habsha says, I'm Christian, you Christian, definitely I'll help. So that's how history writes it. Then he sends a message to Constantinople. Constantinople, what we call today Turkey, that is the main Christian empire. The Red Sea is theirs, their boats are in the Red Sea. He says, these Christians are asking for help, what do you think? He says, definitely go and help them. So that's how history writes it, Christian helps Christian. Reality is that Constantinople, the Christians, for years were looking for an excuse to be able to get into Yemen. Because from Yemen there was one trade route. It was going along the Red Sea, going past Makkah Mukarramah, going to Sham, turning towards this side, you go to Iraq, going to this side, you go to Egypt. This trade route was vital. It was strong. The Romans needed somehow. So history repeats itself. How many times we saw in our recent history, when war takes place, what an excuse they make. They say, Saddam Hussein, weapons of mass destruction, oppressing his people. Ah, we cry for the Muslims. Afghanistan, he says, these Taliban, they don't want to give the woman their rights. Let's go help them. But when they help them, that very woman, if she had to ask later on how they helped you, she said, they killed me. That's all they did. Wherever in history they came, they never came to help anyone. They only had a maqsad of their own. But before their own purpose would come out, they would smile. They would say, I'll look after your dunya. I'll help you people so much. And then they would start killing. So from Constantinople, the boats are sent. From Abyssinia, the soldiers are sent. Using the boats of Constantinople, 70,000 soldiers now cross over the Red Sea. Every one of them, if you were to ask them, where are you going? Say, to help my Christian brother. If you had to ask the leaders, where they going, to say, to draw the blood of the people of Yemen. That's all they needed. History repeats itself. Whenever you have hukumats and you see them landing in any country, it always starts out so much to help. And in the ending, it's to help ourselves. So that's history. And you can't run away from that history. So they will reach Yemen, they will destroy the Yemeni hukuma, the Himyars. Abraha will now be established. Abraha. Abraha is like what we will call, in the Hebrew language you say Abraham. In the Arabic language you say Ibrahim. In the Ethiopian Habsha at that time it was Abraha. So Abraha is like our Ibrahim. Abraha now becomes the king or the chief of Yemen. To get the love of the Arabs, Abraha first has to sort out the dunya. So this is a lesson of history. If man's relationship is with dunya, with the world, whoever will give you your world, even if he has to take away your deen, you will not mind. As long as you see, like in the next few years, we will love to see our rand becoming strong again. It's a dream we had. If my rand can equal the dollar. There was one time when we were young, we used to hear about it, that our rand was as strong as the dollar, the pound. We had a strong rand at that time. But during that time, we had no deen. Allah gave deen and the rand collapsed. A time will come again where the rand, perhaps, you might not have rands. Perhaps a new currency will soon come in the world. It will make us all very happy that now I got a currency again. I can go in the country and say, you know me, look at my card. I can buy you out. It will make us very happy. But remember, whenever dunya comes, it comes many a time at the expense of deen. Conditions will come, rules will come. No one allows your currency to become strong unless we are ready to play the game. Our countries will play that game. During that time, there's not much me and you can do, but so much. Don't ever be happy if you see your dunya coming up. Rather cry when you see your deen going down. Dunya is a thing, goes up and down. Deen, if you lose it, everything is lost. Always look at our deen. When Abraha came, there was a dam. It was known as Sad of Ma'arib. That dam had collapsed years before. It had caused so much of destruction in the land of Yemen. Abraha came, he said, I will put up the dam again. How happy the Arabs were. When he put up the dam, they had a jalsa, like celebration. The Caesar, the Caesar of Rome came for it. Such a big celebration it was. Sad de Ma'arib. You will say, like, the American president is coming to South Africa. Something big happening. You think whatever they have. When they came to say, now plan two now. That we have put up the dunya, now it's time to do what we wanted. Two things he wanted. One is the spread of the Christian faith amongst the Arabs. Whenever they will come, they will spread the ever, whatever the ideology. In the present time, when the British entered the Muslim lands, at that time it was the spread of Christianity. Today there's no Christianity in the world. Today it is the spread of humanism, that the human person, the human is the most important in everything. What your desire is, your craving is, your thoughts are, you must be allowed freedom. No one must stop you, humanism. And humanism's next step then, they normally say atheism. Atheism means don't believe in an almighty. But there's no such thing as atheism. Atheism is a name for Satanism. That once you take Allah out, then the only power that is there is the power of the jinn. Come into magic, come into cults, meet with the devil himself. You will get power, you will enjoy wealth, you will enjoy it all. It is the people of Iman, Allah save us all. When that move will go towards that, when they will see we did your dunya well, now it is time for the next phase, you will find an ideology spreading. South Africa, for many years, it never worked. Recently, we went to one place, they were speaking about China. I think it's China or Japan, how far they have gone in evil. That now every person, their currency is like very strong, it seems. And those people are living in so much of peace, no one will attack anyone. There's cameras everywhere. With the cameras, each person now was given a number. So I'm a number, you a number. It recognizes me through my face. So the person is saying, life day is like this. That if I go outside and I pick up dirt, litter, the camera will picture me picking up that litter, it will go on my profile and I'll get a score. If that score goes up, I get more wealth. All my money is on my profile. My wealth increases if I pick up paper. And if I drop a paper and I get caught on camera, my wealth goes down. So what a clean country. Who doesn't want that country? But then when it moved on, and very fast it happened, the world don't even know about it. When it moved on, the government now chose what is called good character and bad character. Amongst bad character was to go to the masjid, to go to the church. That's not good character. So now a Muslim has to work out how many times can I go masjid. He has to work out my profile. I got so much money, it can't go down so much. He said, okay, I'll go 2 Jumas in the month. What a time came. So then someone said, they're going to soon bring this in the world. I said, one benefit of South Africa is when they put the camera, they'll steal the camera. Our people, at least for a while, the devil will think like, what to do with these people? How to get that camera looked after? But the time will come when you will see your dunya coming up. So Abraha was told, now start, Christianity started spreading. And then the trade route. To get this here, he needed the Arabs to first revolt. Because you needed a war now. You had to attack the Kaaba. The Quraysh were now famous. You had to take over the routes. Abdul Muttalib's trade route this had become. You needed to gain control. So Abraha makes an announcement. I am building the huge church. And he builds it in Yemen, Sana'a. And then he makes an i'lan. I now will invite all the Arabs, instead of going for Hajj, you come to my church. He knew it's not going to work. He wanted to instigate anger the Arabs. Let someone come and do something on the church. History writes some Qurayshi came. Other ulama wrote, maybe he paid a Qurayshi. Someone came and they burnt this church. They messed it up, they put it on fire. That's what Abraha wanted. In the present time, after Abraha was destroyed, no one ever in recent times will think of attacking the house of Allah. They're that same shaitani world. So they're not going to go for the house of Allah. Abraha tried it, he went. Abraha put up the church to say, I will turn attention to the church. His intention was not that. His intention was the Arabs will revolt, I'll break the Kaaba. In today's time, in that very land, again a church entertainment has been put up. Everywhere around the Baytullah, when you will go in the next few years, you will find entertainments. Every entertainment of the world will be in Saudi Arabia. They will not try to attack the Kaaba. They know they'll fall immediately. So now it is to put up entertainment to turn the attention of the world away from the Baytullah. History repeats itself. When Abraha saw that his church was destroyed, he set out with his army. 60,000 soldiers are now moving, 13 elephants. From Yemen, they only have to go to Makkah, Mukarramah. It's not a far journey. In Yemen, the first group stands up to fight against them. The Arabs could never get a 60,000 army. Even if they managed to get 10, 15,000, it was too much. The first army is destroyed of Yemen. The second one reaches him. The man who gets caught, his army is destroyed, he gets caught. He perhaps was the only survivor. He was taken as a guide, he was forced. He was the one who would describe later on, I saw the birds coming, how the elephant sat, the only survivor. Khas'am, from the people of Khas'am. Habib bin Nufail Khas'ami. They go to the third place, and the third place is the lesson I want to give. Time is running short. The third place is Taif. The people were Banu Saqif. The people of Taif had a ma'bad, a temple, mandir. In there they had their idol, most likely it was Lat. They became so used to the idol that they were scared the army of Abraha as it's moving will destroy our temple. So they sent people to Abraha to say that, you know, your problem is the Kaaba. Can you tell your soldiers when they're going to the Kaaba, they mustn't mistakenly break our temple. And to show you the way that you get the right direction here, take this man here. So this man says, I'll show you, like, don't break our temple. History after that recorded, Arabs around were so upset with these people. That one is you hated the action of Abraha. but you couldn't do anything. One is you yourself go to say, to save my dunya, I'll show you the way to the Kaaba. That's what he did. This person was the guide. Almighty Allah made it, he never go far, guiding them, and he died. Arabs later on would stone his qabr, stone it. It left a message for the Muslims who will come at the ending. When the enemy of Islam will fall on Islam, feel bad about it if we can't fight against it. But don't ever become like this man and his tribe, that to save our dunya, we ourselves go to the enemy and say, don't break my thing, I'll show you the way to the masjid. That here's my business, don't touch it, you come, I'll show you. That man went in his qabr, and they stoned from the top. Me and you, if we enter in the qabr, the stones will come in the grave also. Don't ever in the protection of our dunya become the slaves who sell out our deen. He did it. That was gone. Now he died. Habib bin Nufail again is guiding them. He doesn't want to guide them. He's upset with it. When you're upset, even if you forced in something, Allah will always forgive you. Now they meet Abdul Muttalib. Time is running out. We know the incident at the ending. One elephant, they call him Mahmud. That elephant sits. Head of 13 elephants. If they turn him to Yemen, he's ready to go. They turn him to Iraq, he's ready to go. They hit him, they poke him, they make him bleed. He's not going, he just sits. And then they see the birds coming. Flock of birds. Young, small birds, small pebbles. And those birds drop. As they drop, it's like rain coming. They say everyone never died there. It went into the body. It created a rash. The body started itching. People started scratching. As they're scratching their skin. They're scratching, they're seeing meat dropping. They're not dying, but some are falling. They say to Habib, get us out of here. His words is recorded. He said, أَيْنَ الْمَفَرُ وَالْإِلَهُ طَالِبٌ. That you want to run away today when Allah is searching for you. Where are you going to run? أَيْنَ الْمَفَرُ. He said, I'm not going to show you nothing. Go where you want. أَيْنَ الْمَفَرُ وَالْإِلَهُ طَالِبٌ. He left a message for the world. When you make Allah angry, the superpowers of the time, they also going to run. You will also want to run. There's no running from Allah. Don't ever sell our deen just for the little dunya. When that pebbles will come from Allah, even if there's no army in this world to destroy those powers, when Allah's punishment will come, only that man will be saved who turned his attention to Allah. They ran, they turned. As they're moving on every position, somebody else is falling. Abraha will die when they reach Khas'am. He will fall there. The Arabs, they knew this thing. It was a big wake up for them. What a wake up. But Allah Ta'ala said to me and you, Alam tara kaifa. Have you not seen how your Allah dealt? This was the month of Muharram. Perhaps it could have even been the 10th of Muharram. We'll never know. 50 days before the birth of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The exact date of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's birth is not known. It's between the 2nd to the 12th of Rabiul Awwal. No one will ever be able to 100% say exactly which day. So we know in the month of Muharram this occurred. In the month of Rabiul Awwal was the birth of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But the message it gave to the world, history will repeat itself. The superpowers again will come to the Kaaba. They're already there. They will put their things around the Haram. Me and you, if we don't have the ability to fight against it, at least be like Abdul Muttalib. Abdul Muttalib went to the Kaaba and he said, Allah, if we are unable to protect your house, but you are there, at least make dua. Feel bad about it. Don't just sit and say, now what to do. Make dua at least. Make dua when you will see things happening around. Don't be so, my dunya is the main, my dunya is the main. Because we all going one day in the grave, and the deen of Allah will always become ghalib. When it becomes ghalib, it will be honor for those people who always connected themselves with deen. Don't ever look at the superpowers of the time. When the call of Allah will be made, it will not be pebbles falling from the sky. The army of Allah, the Mahdi, will stand. At that time, those who always desired good, they will find a natural inclination to the Mahdi. Those whose hearts was the dunya, they will find a disinclination from the Mahdi. May Allah Tabarak Ta'ala link us all up to the Mahdi. May Allah Tabarak Ta'ala let us always be of the army of Islam. until the day when we can't with our hands change things. Let our minds and our tongues, our du'as, always say, Allah, I'm not happy with what's happening, but you are the Rabb of the Kaaba. You look after your haram. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil.